Morning. Welcome to this FT Advisor podcast, where we will be speaking with Josh Button, Director at Boost, and John Doyle, Founder of Juniper Wealth Management, who are at the CISI conference and have just appeared on a panel about the future of technology in advice businesses. Morning, both. Thanks for joining us.
Morning.
You've just come off a panel with Ian McKenna discussing technology. For those who've missed the session, what was the biggest takeaway? Let's start with you, Josh.
Oh, wow. I mean, my biggest takeaway is that the future of technology is quite daunting. And I think particularly for those smaller financial planning businesses who are seeing a lot of this stuff and they're hearing a lot of it, it's all new phrases, it's new terminology, and maybe they're not using it right now. So it's all a bit daunting. So my biggest takeaway and message is that there's loads of great stuff out there just ready to go, ready to pick up, which is not necessarily financial planning software. Your HubSpots, type forms for gathering data efficiently from clients, logic-based forms, HubSpot for your communications and automating those, building a knowledge base for your team in Slab. These are all things that are super easy, relative, just take some time. They're all cheap monthly direct debits, but they can add huge value to your business with technology, and they all integrate, so they all send data between each other. So a big way I was hoping to deliver, and hopefully the audience took, was there's some really scary stuff coming, and you'll probably need to really learn that in the future. But right now, don't feel like you have to wait. There's some amazing things that are just out there ready to use.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, John?
That's wonderful. It's quite interesting what you said there about it being quite daunting, because my instant reaction is excitement. So I think there's like that real divide when it comes to technology between, you know, those who might be daunted or scared of it, and probably those of us who are on the panel going, this is exciting, can't wait to get into the weeds of this. So I think my sort of role on the panel was to be there as the solo advisor firm, right? It's the small man. Mm-hmm. And the biggest takeaway I wanted to sort of give to people was around controlling data, understanding your data, but using it in ways that are instantly effective in your business to speed things up, to get improved time, improved communication, or to have data available in places that are really easy for your team to be using it within your business. Because sometimes with some of the software we use, it can be really hard to get hold of this information or this data. And I think actually for me, probably the most salient point was made by Ian towards the end, where he was like, go back to the places in the software you're using already and learn how to use it, because it probably does a lot more than we already realize, and they're probably already developing it. So I thought that was a really powerful point to finish on as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. Well, where is actually the biggest need for better tech in your advice businesses, and where is the biggest potential for innovation kind of industry-wide?
Yes, I mean, there's huge potential for innovation everywhere. I'd argue that until the cows come home. I think there's so much potential. The challenge is that we're obviously a people business, so ultimately you can't automate the human interactions, but you can use technology to help all the other things. It's just sort of getting past some of those barriers. So that'd be my sort of take on it, really.
Yeah, I think the big word at the moment is AI. That's transforming technology everywhere you look at the moment. And I think the challenge for advice businesses really is going to be working out how I can use this to improve what I'm already doing, rather than trying to complete about face and change everything very, very quickly. It's where can I take what I'm already doing and use some of these tools to speed that up, to improve it, or to get it to 80% to where we want to get it to. But there's a lot of exciting innovation at the moment. You just, as an advisor who's sort of interested in tech, you're just desperate for the provider software to innovate, especially if you haven't got the time or capacity to build these things yourself.
Yeah. And before we start, before we chat a little bit more about AI, are there any pieces of technology that have particularly impressed you in recent times?
Yeah, I've got one which is quite an interesting one. So I mentioned Typeform, which we use. So again, non-industry software here. So Typeform, we originally used it just for like very simple things. So for example, there's an embedded one on our website. So we have a development program and we use it as a form where people can put in their name and their email address and it sends them an email with a download link. Super simple. We then expanded it to more sort of capable things in terms of logic-based questionnaires. We've done scores, so depending on your answers, we'll give you a rating. So depending on how knowledgeable somebody is on something, it can then adjust the wording of the next set of questions. So that's a bit more impressive. They're now releasing a new thing, which is called Formless, which is a kind of confusing, but a completely formless form. So you basically, and we're thinking about how can we build a knowledge base? How can we take our financial planning brains, and not just any old financial planner, but how do Boost think about certain challenges that our clients have? Because we'd be incredibly naive to think that, there's just one way to do financial planning and people want to know the one way to do it. Ultimately, our clients want to know our way and John's clients want to know John's way, and because they're dealing with a human. So if we're going to have technology, it needs to be communicating in our language, words that we use, the phrases that we use, and be what we would say if they're talking to us. So what they're doing with Formless is basically you can upload all of your educational resources you've already built, and it then becomes, instead of them having to go through a quiz to get to an outcome, they can just type into it and say, well, I want to learn more about whatever it might be. And instead of using a ChatGPT, which is going to give a very generalized answer from everything on the internet, it will start to feed them answers that are from us. So it's going to be much more relevant to them, their circumstances, because the content we write is for our clients based in the UK, our tax rules, our products that are available, our thinking, how we think about investments, how we think about risk, how we think about planning. So all of a sudden, you've got a Josh that you can type to. And that's pretty exciting. And that's here now. So that used to be a future thing. And now it's a now thing. And that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I within our business, there's probably two that we use that are probably most effective. One of them is automation tools like Zapier or Microsoft Power Automate, because what it enables us to do is when an action happens, a load of consequential actions then happens. So, you know, when a client books a meeting with us on Calendly, we can then send them a follow-up email with an introduction and a video or some guides and a sequence of things, so that when I'm then meeting with them on a discovery call for the first time, it's not the first time they've met me. It's not the first time they've met our brand or understood how we invest or all these kind of other things, what even financial planning is, right? So you can start to communicate straight away with the client, but then also we can communicate straight away with our CRM and our team with some other automations, easy word to say. So you can, from that booking, you can instantly put them straight into the CRM with the details they've put on Calendly. So it's then already there. You can go into Teams and send a message to my team that there's this booking has been booked in. Now we need to do all the other actions or other things. So we use Zapier for that, plugs into Calendly, plugs into our CRM system, plugs into a whole load of different tools. And the other one is a little tool, again, within our CRM system called SmartFlows, which is a Microsoft Word plugin that can take any data from that back office system and put it into Word documents, but then we'll feed those either straight through to email, to SharePoint, to DocuSign. So you can take any of the data, pre-populate, and get a lot of power planning reports or advice letters 80%, 90% of the way there with the data you've already got. Mm-hmm. With a click of a button, and you can combine all these documents together as well. So if you're an advice piece, you can just click a few buttons and it creates the fact find printout, the top-up letter, that all this straight into wherever you need it to go. So these are very flexible tools, but it's taken time to understand how to use them and how to work them.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose these almost sound like AI already, especially the one that you were talking about, Josh. I mean, how do you think AI will shape the industry going forward? Where do you think it will really kind of become useful?
That's almost a million-pound question. And I think whoever can really nail that early is going to have a huge competitive advantage. We heard from fantastic speakers yesterday, two of them actually, one was talking about how He massively has changed his business in America to almost only work about 3 months a year by having incredibly compressed workload over a short period of time, and then him then enjoying his life and doing speaking and other things with his with the rest of his time. And that's almost a preview, I think. He's doing that in a very human way. He's just got a big support team that enables him to do that. But I think AI will make that much more accessible without such a big team behind, particularly solo planners or small to medium-sized businesses. The challenge with it is going to be when you get to a larger-sized business, introducing AI which is firm-wide. Because when you're a solo practitioner and you choose how you want the AI to work for you, that's you. You control the inputs, the outputs, and if you want to change it, you change it. Having firm-wide rules is a bit more difficult. How on earth a network that has 100 or so financial planning firms that all want access to this stuff, but they all do their jobs slightly differently, is going to start to introduce this technology will be much more difficult. So the introduction of it will be much easier for the Johns of the world than the bigger networks of the world, and the medium-sized businesses will be somewhere in the middle. But it will create more time. It's going to take away a lot of those jobs that not many people really enjoy doing in the first place. It's not the high-skill work right now. It might be in the future, but it's knowledge-based sort of information. It's collating from various sources, compiling, working with templates, getting stuff ready for client-facing. But it will still need some personality added. And that's pretty soon. That's not far away.
I think the biggest one of most firms will be Microsoft Copilot, which launches within their sort of Office suite and Power platform in November. It's going to be £30 a month per user, so it's not cheap, but it's not the same as a cost of a person either. Mm-hmm. And that will have access to all your Microsoft data. So if you know, use SharePoint, if you've got Excel spreadsheets, if you've got things in the Microsoft Dataverse. And it'll be interesting to see how this works through, because it's going to have lots of benefits, but it also comes with the potential to be a very big distraction for firms. So I think, you know, the implementation of this, I'm a one advisor team. I've got two members of staff. You know, it's very easy for me to just practice with this and see which things it's going to work within the team, and then how to roll that and how do we leverage that. But that's probably going to be the lowest hanging fruit for most firms, instead of going, you know, some of the other bespoke things that you might be looking at. It's the stuff that already works with the tools we're using.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how this develops, for sure. Now, Josh, you said in the beginning that you find that technology can be quite daunting for advisors and also young advisors, which I almost found a bit surprising, because I always thought it was the older advisors that had a bigger kind of issue with it. But do you think advisors are tech savvy enough?
No. Next question. No, I mean, it's a really interesting thing. So one of the things we spoke about in the session today was how every business will need to have someone who takes a genuine interest in this, no matter their size. So John's a solo and he loves tech. Brilliant. Tick box. We're a team of 14. I love tech. Wonderful. Tick box. But as you grow, you need more people that really love it. You need to have people that are capable of using it. Everyone must be able to use what you implement. And if you've got a team that age from 20 years old to 65 years old, you're not implementing technologies for one person. It's for a range of people. So the implementation is going to be quite difficult for bigger businesses. I said daunting only because it's change. And I think we can all change. We've changed plenty of times before. But if you're 50, 52, 53, you're a financial planner. If you're helping people be really good at retirement, I'd like to think you're thinking about retiring soon. You've got this big, massive event coming where technology is going to change how everyone around you works. You've kind of got to get on board with it or not. And it's either going to just massively multiply this thing that people are just selling their businesses because they haven't got an alternative succession option, or some businesses are going to really massively tackle this challenge, as daunting as it may be, and go from there. One thing which is incredibly valuable, and I'm very fortunate, is we're a family business. So I, like John, look at all the tech, I see what's out there, I see all these shiny objects, some which is great, some which is maybe not so great, but we want to go look at it all. And I have Dad involved in the business, and he will come in and say, that's really exciting. How are you going to use it? And sometimes he'll say, don't use it. And I'll be like, why? This looks cool. I can see how this would help. And he'll just say, that don't use it. And frustrating for me, 99% of the time, with a bit of hindsight, a bit of time, he's usually right. So I think businesses that have got a wise head, who have been around a while, they understand how clients think, what they want, what they truly want, and have got somebody, regardless of age, but is really on top of the tech, to sort of clash minds. You've got the person introducing the technology, but they might get carried away if they're not tethered. And then you've also got the wise head or more who's saying, you know, like, how are we actually going to use this? I think it's very difficult for one person to be both. So I think that the people that are maybe not introducing the tech have still got a really important role. But they do need to have somebody in the business who takes a keen interest. And it might be a trainee who's just on their financial planning journey, who's also taking a really keen interest in the tech. That could be their route into leadership of the business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I'd just like to finish off with a question I believe you were asked on the panel. And that is, if you could magic up one new piece of functionality, what would it be?
Do you want to go first?
You can go first, yeah.
Okay. So the answer that I gave was basically a power panel without a pulse. And when we first spoke about that, and what we mean by that is somebody like paying highly qualified, very competent people to write suitability reports and ultimately the boring stuff which we have to do to run our business, which doesn't add much value but is essential, is not the best use of our highly qualified people's life. That will become mostly automated, if not already, by some of this technology. I'm really looking forward to that. That's the thing I would magic up now, because it then frees up my very competent, technically able, lovely colleagues to go and do more valuable stuff. But at the moment, we have to do that stuff. So that's the thing that I'd be introducing. If we had it tomorrow, it'd be a system which can just simply take care of all those things and do it our way. Because having a software provider come along and say, hey, we've got this wonderful template system software, but you have to do it our way as of no help. It needs to be something that works for us and our business and our clients. But that's what I would be using my magic wand for to get. The real reason, though, is to free up the time of my people.
Mm-hmm. I think when thinking about technology, there's sort of three areas that you can use it to help you. It's the data that you've got and how you get insights out of this data. Speeding up things, you know, creating time resources in the business, or improving communications to clients. And I think as a small business, or if you're not someone who's prepared to sort of move where your data is stored in order to access a lot of this, there's a lot of other low-hanging fruit that you can go with to save time and communications with clients. You know, I didn't say this on the panel because one of the problems with technology is you can just go everywhere with it and you can just ramble on and talk about all these exciting things. But it's the taking all the thoughts out of your mind post-client meeting and getting those into a nice structured place really, really quickly. If there was a piece of technology that could do that, that wasn't like a microchip from Elon Musk or something, but that could just take all those thoughts or the conversations you've had with the client and put it into a really structured way, that would, you know, empower advisors to see so many more clients and deliver a lot more value.
Excellent. That sounds like two very good ideas. Thank you very much for your time today. It's really, really good to chat to you, and have a good rest of CSI conference.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Will do. Cheers.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.